All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved.
Good morning, Graham Street. I want you to stand as we begin singing today. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. We declare that the kingdom of God is here. We declare that the kingdom of God is here among you, among you. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame men are walking. Sicknesses flee at his voice. The dead live again, and the poor hear the good news. Jesus is King, so rejoice. We declare that the kingdom of God is here. We declare that the kingdom of God is here among you, among you. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame men are walking. Sicknesses flee at his voice. The dead live again, and the poor hear the good news. Jesus is King, so rejoice.
You can be seated. Well, good morning, church. It's good to see everybody this morning. It's a Sunday before Thanksgiving. And I know some of you are excited about seeing family and getting together, and some are wondering, well, how will that work? And some of you are sad because you can't get together with family. So a lot of mixed emotions. And those emotions kind of fit what we're all going through right now. There are things that we're thankful about, but there's a list of things that we wish were different. And we want to challenge you this morning to think about the things that we need to be thankful about. And primarily what we're going to be talking about this morning are things that the church is continuing to do, even though it's sometimes situations where we have to do them differently, or sometimes we just have to find a substitute for the way we've done things in the past. I want you to watch this morning as we have the presentation of the videos of things that we're doing, and think about the fact that the things that we're doing here locally, at the same time, there are things like that we're involved in other places, particularly, for example, in Zimbabwe. Now, we'll talk about this morning about the prison ministry, for example, that we have going on through our congregation right here, but realize at the same time that they're using New Life behavior also in the prisons in Zimbabwe. We'll talk about our food distribution, what we do with basic needs, and what we do through the community food drive, and what we're doing with the Night of 100 Casseroles. But realize that also this church has been involved in helping the churches in Zimbabwe distribute food at the same time. What we talk about this morning, about how we continue our time in Bible study and in fellowship and in worship, realize that our brothers and sisters over in our mission work in Zimbabwe are having those same challenges, and they're continuing to keep it going. So this morning, we want to give thanks for what we're able to continue to do. And I think it's important for us to do that. For this morning, during this worship, let's try not to focus on what we're not able to do or how we've had to change doing things from the way we like to do them. But let's focus on thanking God for the fact that we've been able to continue to do great things to His glory while we're here. I want to ask you to look at this passage in Philippians 3. As I've been doing this series of lessons in Philippians, this passage really, I think, points to what we need to be focusing on right now. But one thing we do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, we press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I think we need to realize we've got to press forward. We've got to keep straining ahead to do the things that God has called us to do, no matter what it looks like. And realize that Satan would love for us to get focused on what we can't do instead of focus on what we can do. And he would love for us to not do anything to God's glory. So in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, we find that we are the body of Christ, and we show Christ in the world by how we function as the body. And God placed all things under his feet, and he appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. As the body of Christ, people are looking to us to show them Christ. What they see in us is what they will come to believe in Christ. Before we get people started in looking in the Word of God and studying, they're first looking at our lives. And if we show them something that doesn't look like what Christ is, then we're going to distract them from seeing Christ. We're thankful that the church has been able to continue to show the world Christ, both here and in the mission work we're doing overseas. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we are God's workmanship, or his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." I want you to think about that for a moment. The things that we're doing need to be the things that God had in mind for us to do from the beginning of this whole thing. You know, sometimes we really get working on the details of how to do the things that we want to do as a church. The first detail we need to focus on, is this what God wants us to do? Is this what God had in mind for us from the beginning of all time? Are we doing what we've been put here to do? Let me suggest some things that God had in mind for the church to do. And I want you to realize this morning, and I want to thank Wes for the great videos he's put together for us this morning of talking about the work that we're doing. And for Lee and for others who have helped put this service together. I really haven't had that much to do with this service this morning. The missions committee has worked with Lee and with Wes in putting the things together we're going to focus on this morning. And I believe some of the things that you're going to see this morning are exactly what God had in mind for his church to do. Continuing to help people who are in need. Preaching and teaching the Word of God regardless of the obstacles we have to overcome. Our ability to fellowship with believers, to continue to do that, even if it takes Zoom to do it, even if we have to be in small groups in houses, we're going to keep having the fellowship of believers. And praise God, we've been able to continue to meet in our building. And we've had very few that have caught the virus, and praise God for that. We also need to realize that we need to have a positive impact on our community. That during a time when there is anxiety and when people are grumpy and grouchy and angry and not happy about the way they have to do things and all of that, may they see a disposition in us that has an impact for positive, for God's glory in our community. That people realize that we're going to work in whatever atmosphere we need to work in. And we're going to do our very best to try to keep people safe, and we're going to try to uplift people and encourage people, and we're going to do it in a way that will have a positive impact for God in our community. And I think maybe the last one is something that we need to remember. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, It says they continued in the apostles' teaching, in fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. And there is a ministry of prayer. And I think we have been able to continue the ministry of prayer. There's no one, not even Satan himself, that can keep us from the ministry of prayer. And there are so many people who are asking us to be praying for them. And we're going to be diligent in that. It's not just something we happen to do. It is something that we will intentionally do and continue that ministry. And it says in Ephesians 3, 10 and 11, it is God's intent. It is the intent of our Lord that we, the church, make His will, His wisdom, His manifold wisdom known in the world. It is the church's responsibility to do that. God has an eternal purpose for the church through Christ Jesus, that we let the world know about God. And that's what we're about. And we thank God that we've been given the opportunity, no matter the circumstances, to keep it going. So I want you to remember this passage, because this tells me that we can do it. If we set our mind on doing what God has called us to do, He will make it happen. Notice what it says. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. There is no reason for us to feel like we can't do what we're supposed to do. If we think it, if we imagine it, if we pray about it, if we say, this is what God has called us to do, we should have every intent on doing it, because God is able. He will make it happen. He will give us what we need to get it done. So no matter what you're thinking this morning about what we might not be able to do, or what we're unable to do because of this crisis that we're in, remember, God is still in control. God is still able. God will help us do the things that we need to be done. And even if we don't understand exactly how it's going to happen, if we don't see how God is working in this, we need to trust that God is working, and we need to be thankful. Would you pray with me, please? Our Heavenly Father, it is indeed a privilege to be here this morning. And we know circumstances are different, but praise God, You have made it possible. We're grateful this morning that we're able to pray for one another, to be in the Word, to be doing good works in our community so that people will know the God we serve is real and alive and active. And we praise You, God, because this morning we remember that a great thing happened for us many, many years ago when Jesus came into this world, giving up His place with You there as God, and coming into this world and becoming a human being and living a life of perfection before us and setting an example for us and dying on the cross for our sins, and in the might and power of God being raised from the grave to live again. We are so blessed to be able to come together and to celebrate that. And Father, although Satan will try to stop us, may we be the church that You've called us to be. May the world around us know that we have much to be thankful for, and they will find in us, no matter how difficult the circumstances, a joy that runs deep inside of us, and a thankful heart that's willing to act in praise and glory to our God. And we pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Seeking the lost, yes, kindly entreating, wanderers on the mountain astray, come unto Me, His message repeating, words of the Master speaking today. Going afar upon the mountain, bringing the wanderer back again, into the fold of My Redeemer, Jesus the Lamb for sinners slain, for sinners slain. Seeking the lost and pointing to Jesus. Souls that are weak and hearts that are sore. Leading them forth in ways of salvation. Illuminating the path to life evermore. Going afar upon the mountain, bringing the wanderer back again, into the fold of my Redeemer. Jesus the Lamb for sinners slain, for sinners slain. Thus I would go on missions of mercy, following Christ from day unto day, cheering the faint and raising the fallen, pointing the lost to Jesus the way. Going afar upon the mountain, bringing the wanderer back again, into the fold of my Redeemer. Jesus the Lamb for sinners slain, for sinners slain.
Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality? Or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me.
Carry each other's burdens. Carry each other's burdens. Yourselves, never be lacking in zeal. Keep your spiritual fervor. Keep your spiritual fervor. Serving the Lord. Love one another. Above yourselves, never be lacking in zeal. Keep your spiritual fervor. Keep your spiritual fervor. Serving the Lord. Be devout, be devout to one another. To one another in brotherly love.
As you can see from some of the pictures, we are a blessed people in a blessed world, in a blessed community, and we've had an opportunity to share with others in our community and around the world. Great opportunities, great things to do service for, and we're blessed to be able to do that. And thank you all for doing that. Let's go to our God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessings you give us. Thank you for the blessings you share with us that we can share with other people here in our area and around the world. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the work of distributing food in Africa and the commitment we made to support that work. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the people that work here locally to, through basic needs, to share food and clothing and some furniture, and to also serve by providing housing assistance or whatever that might be as we have the ability. Thank you for our opportunities to share with providing casseroles once a month. Thank you for helping us to be able to participate in the food distribution that we share with some of the other organizations in the community. Dear Father, thank you for the people that share their time and resources. Thank you for all the people that contribute to that. Thank you for the people that help organize that and coordinate the work that we do in those things. Dear Father, help us to continue to look to the people that we serve. Help us to understand the need that they have. Sometimes as we just can't recognize that from our perspective in life. Dear Father, help us to continue to serve them and help us to continue the work and look for opportunities to serve. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, chords that were broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Rescue the perishing, duty demands it, strength for thy labor the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them, tell the poor wanderer a Savior has died. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save.
For the Word of God is alive and active and powerful. It is sharper than any double-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. Dear Graham Street Church of Christ, I received the Bible you sent me. I thank you very much for it. It's one of the nicest ones I've ever had, and it's really appreciated. My alcoholism has brought me back to rock bottom again and again. I lost my family 12 years ago. I've been estranged from my 3 children for 7 years. And my life is in shambles like I never could have imagined. Now, this Bible you gifted me with is the only thing I own. Hence, my letter of gratitude is the least I can do. I am reading it, as well as sending for the study courses.
What you are doing for us is such an inspiration, and the Bibles are beautiful. I pray this letter finds you in good spirits, and the God we serve continues to bless your ministry, family, and friends. Please pray for me in my time of struggle, and I will pray for blessing for you for the kindness you share. God bless, and goodbye for now.
Thank you so much for taking the time to read my words. I'm so, so sorry that I let society down again. And I apologize 1,000 times, church. Please believe me, these errors will not define me. And maybe one day I can share my story with everyone. I had an experience that I need people to hear. It's not sad at all. It's powerful. It's all Jesus. Glory to
Him. You know, it amazes me how you didn't know what I've been dealing with this week. But God, for whatever reason, led you to send me the scripture, Psalm 139:14. This has been an overwhelming week for me. I found out I have COVID-19 on top of my other chronic health issues at the age of 26. As I sit here in prison doing my Bible studies, I realize I'm broken due to family and my past. I don't want history to repeat itself. I find myself sad, lonely, and depressed. I know to turn to God, but then what? I was so close to giving up, but Psalm 139 made me think that I am enough. So I just want to thank you. Know that you make a difference. God bless you.
You to bear with me because this part is very personal to me. Some of you may not be aware that I served a 7-year prison sentence starting in 2005 through 2012. I knew the Bible, had been raised in the church, but I lost my way. And sometimes God puts us in places to make us think, to make us refocus, and make us learn what we should have known all along. And when I got to my unit of assignment, went to the Church of Christ service that they had on Sunday mornings, and Brother Brad was talking about the fact that there was this Bible study materials that Lakewood Church of Christ had gotten a hold of. The church in Corpus Christi actually had written these and said anybody that wanted to study with somebody, even if you already knew the Bible, that this was something that you could do to pass your time in a positive way. And I said, sure, that sounds great. And so I connected with Cynthia. Cynthia was my teacher. And I went through each of the lessons, or each of the units has 13 different lessons in it, right? And then there are 13 of those. So there's 169 lessons that you can complete. And I completed all of them. I went all the way through everything. I have the certificates at home to prove it. I've still got them. I'm proud of those. And there are people that are where I've been. It's interesting how God will take a mess and turn it into a message. And I stand before you today because of that. He can take a test that I've had to go through, and I can give a testimony to tell you that God is there, God is in control, and God will help you through anything that happens. And so there are people, and Hubert will tell you a little bit more about how it all got started, but there are people that are reaching out to us and saying, hey, is there a way that I can know God better? A way that I can fix, or that God can fix my life if I'll let Him? And so we sent them a Bible. They're about $5 a piece. We sent them a Bible, and we send them the lessons that they'll go through. It's in the Word, all of it. And then they take a little quiz at the end. And whenever they've completed that quiz, we send them a certificate that says, good job. And there's usually a little letter that goes with it that says, hey, how's your life going? How can I pray for you? How can I support you? How can I do whatever? I wish you could know what a difference this has made in my mom's life. My mom went through this with me, right? My whole family did whenever I was in prison. But mom got a hold of this new life behavior stuff and teaching other people. And she's got tons and tons. She's got about 150 students that she has, and she works with it, and she loves it. And it's like, oh, Telus is doing this, and Telus is doing that. And she's got all of these, and it's made such a difference in her life. You know, we think about, oh, we're going to make a difference in that person's life, but actually it turns out that the blessings start flowing back our directions when we do this. And so if there's a way that you could get involved with this, whether it's by your time, taking on one student to study with, the lessons are good for you too. You can read them and get just as much as they do out of them. But if you can find a way to do that, and then if not, if you're interested in helping provide for it financially, whenever we started up with this, it was about $250 a month and to do the postage and everything, whatnot. Now we're looking at about $1,250 a month. $1,200 a month is about what we're spending out each month to spread the word of God to people in prisons. It's going on in Zimbabwe too, but Stanley handles that. But if there's a way that you can be a part of this or at least keep it in prayer, we just ask God's blessings on it. Thank you.
Our congregation is involved in a number of mission efforts, both here in the States, locally, as well as internationally. It's just been really the tip of the iceberg has been shown this morning. Everything from the work with the college students here at Tarleton and at Ranger, through Celebrate Recovery. On the international level, in addition to Zimbabwe, we support work in Mexico, in Tanzania. Just a number of things we're doing. In Zimbabwe alone, they are printing and distributing thousands of these new life behavior. Over 5,000 people have been baptized in the prisons in Zimbabwe alone. But I want for a minute to tell you really how all this got started. And it goes back, and I think it illustrates what Jesus said about a mustard seed. If you have faith just as much as a mustard seed, it can grow and blossom, and you just never know what will be the result. The prison ministry here got started over 10 years ago when we had a member of this congregation, Joel Kitchens, who wanted something more than AA. He'd been going to AA for a number of years, but AA lacks that really, it's the spiritual component. He didn't know of what we might use, and nobody else did as well. And about that time, we had a weekend seminar with Galen Van Reenen, who at that time was a missions professor at ACU. He came over here. He was sick. He was not feeling well at all. The seminar was not well attended. But in the course of the seminar, he was talking about what some congregations are doing in various places in the States to reach out. And he mentioned a program called Celebrate Recovery that none of us here had ever heard about. So we looked into Celebrate Recovery and started it here in this congregation. That's over 10 years ago. The program rocked along. You've been very good to support it with meals every Monday night. Attendance has varied up and down. But we continued with the program. We continue with it today. But then a few years ago, we got a call from a gentleman in Granbury who was coming over here every Wednesday night and doing Celebrate Recovery in the county jail. He invited us to join him, and we participated with him for a while. And then he said, you know, he really wanted to pass the mantle on because he wanted to do the same thing over in Granbury. So we took up where he had left off. A couple of different people did it. Ben Copeland took it on, and up until COVID shut visitations to the jail down, Ben was the one doing it with the men on Wednesday night. But there was nothing for the women, at least not Celebrate Recovery. And so we inquired into that, and the jail let us start Celebrate Recovery for Women on Friday night. There were a few different women who worked with that for a while, and then Jan Aldifer tried it, and that became her ministry on Friday night. She was working the Celebrate Recovery material, but she wanted something more and something else to work with the ladies, so she started giving them the New Life Behavior curriculum. Some of those ladies would be transferred out to state jails, and it's from that point that the New Life Behavior, the prison ministry, got started and blossomed. Whereas today, people in this congregation are studying with over 60 prisons in Texas alone, let alone in Arkansas and in some other states that you saw on the map. And the ministry has just exploded, as Lee mentioned. We support a number of things with our mission budget. This year, we were able to readjust some of the budget and put some more money on the prison ministry. Plus, some people have given some donations for it. And we will continue that next year. But if you would like to make a special contribution to aid in this ministry, please feel free to make your check out to the Graham Street Church of Christ. There's a foundation here in town that has seen the results of this ministry, and they are making a donation as well. There's been some money left by some individuals in their will. We had one gentleman who did not have that much of an estate, but when he died, he left part of his money to buy Bibles. And that was the seed money for the Bibles that you've seen up here that we send out to the prisons. And when we have the children's donation, that money goes towards purchasing those Bibles. And so, as we're in the midst of all the problems we see this year, we all need to keep in mind that none of us know what can be the result of some fairly simple act that we perform. Who knows years from now what may be the result? That one act over 10 years ago, where we were trying to get something going locally for a few people, is now spread out to hundreds of people in the U.S. and thousands of people in Zimbabwe. And so you don't know the person that you teach, the person that you encourage, the letter you write. Who knows what will be the result from that? What will be the fruit that will be born from that in the future? If you would pray with me at this time. Our merciful and loving Father, we are eternally grateful to you for your grace, for your forgiveness, for your love that we have had the privilege to experience. And we realize, God, that we have the privilege of sharing that with others, and not only the privilege, but we have the responsibility of sharing with others the same good news, the same hope and salvation that someone has shared with us in the past. We pray, God, for these ministries, for those who are studying both the lessons and studying your word, both here and abroad. We pray for those who are corresponding, who are grading the lessons, who are sharing the word with these people. We're thankful for those in our congregation who support these efforts. We pray, God, that all that we do, may it be to your honor and glory, that no matter what the future holds, God, we know that the future is yours, that we are yours, and we have the message, the only message that can bring hope and that will bring salvation. And we're so thankful for the many people today that we're able to share this with. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
To the work, to the work, we are servants of God. Let us follow the path that our Master has trod. With the balm of His counsel, our strength to renew, let us do with our might what our hands find to do. Toiling on, let us hope, let us watch, and labor till the Master comes. To the work, let the hungry be fed. To the fountain of life, let the weary be led. In the cross and its banner, our glory shall be. While we herald the tidings, salvation is free. Toiling on. Let us hope, let us watch, and labor till the Master comes. To the work, there is labor for all, for the kingdom of darkness and error shall fall, and the name of Jehovah exalted shall be in the loud swelling chorus. Salvation is free. Toiling on, let us hope, let us watch, and labor till the Master comes.
All the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything they had. And every day, in the temple and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and preaching this message: Jesus is the Messiah.
I am kneeling before the Father, from whom the earthly family derives its name. I am praying for His power, through His Spirit in our inner being, we live by faith. His love surpasses knowledge.
You know, one of my go-to songs whenever I was in prison was this song, "You Are My Strength When I Am Weak." And I would use it whenever I would go to rec, going round and round, and sometimes even when I was just down, because I could do that. And I wanted to incorporate that into this deal, because as we look at COVID, sometimes we need to sing this song and remind ourselves, right? And the thing is as a song leader, this song is one of those that really needs two song leaders. It really needs, because the ladies need to follow somebody and the guys need to follow somebody for it to work. So there are some times in ministry that you can't do it by yourself, that you need a partner, somebody to join with as you go, somebody that you work with as you do. And this young man to my left, Kyle Day, is probably one of the best ministry partners I've ever been blessed with. And it's one of those things that if anything needed to happen during the time of COVID, I would say, hey, Kyle, and the answer was yes before I finished the question. And it's great that God provides whenever we need somebody to help us get something done in ministry, it'll happen. And so today we're going to sing You Are My All in All. I know it's a little unconventional, but we'll have two song leaders. And ladies, you'll follow me. Fellas, you'll follow Kyle. And we'll sing the verses together, and then it splits, and you'll know who to follow at that point. Appreciate you.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Take my sin, my cross, my shame. Rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God,
I bless your name.
Worthy is your name. Jesus,
Matt Redman wrote a song called Never Once. Some of the words are, standing on this mountaintop, looking just how far we've come, knowing that for every step you were with us. Kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory was your power in us. Scars and struggle on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say, never once did you ever walk, never once did we walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God. You are faithful. I hope you've been encouraged today that God has been faithful. While we may have to do things differently, God has been faithful to help us see that they are done. And like we said this morning, so many of the things that we're doing locally, there's a parallel for what we're doing internationally. And one of the things that we've continued to do, although we've had to change the way we do it, is taking the Lord's Supper. But we've kept doing it. And it may seem a little different to be able to do it with a little plastic container with a flip top on it that you peel back that's got a wafer in it and some juice in it. It's still what it is. It's still a representation of what we believe in. It's the body and the blood of Jesus. And so often in Jesus' ministry, Jesus went out of his way to try to make things as real as possible, from the spiritual dimension to the physical dimension. He would constantly focused those who were listening to his teaching on how these spiritual things of the kingdom are real, and you can see them in real life. It's one of the reasons why he did the healing that he did. It had to touch on the real world that we were living in sickness and in sorrow. He did so much in dealing with the tangible things of food and drink. Think about how many times, and this is a good study for you, think about how many times what Jesus did in his ministry dealt with eating and drinking. You know, we think about the feeding the 5,000 and feeding the 4,000 and the meals that he had together with different groups of people and the times that he did really unusual things in his teaching. He did it in a setting of having a meal together. Even after he was raised from the dead, we find that so many occasions of helping them to realize that he was really alive, that he really had a dead body on the cross that has come to life again, he did it by a meal with those that he was with. And in that meal, he would tie in a spiritual lesson. The Lord's Supper was such an occasion. That last time together with them, having that meal before he went to the cross, was an occasion where he helped them to see that this is real. He wanted to give them something that they could look back on and they could know that what they were experiencing was real. And so this morning, as we take that wafer and as we drink that little bit of juice, it's an attempt to make it real. That when we say this bread represents the body of Jesus Christ, we realize that it is real. And when I take that bread, Jesus' body, and I put it into my body, we have a union together between Christ and ourselves that is unbroken. We remind each other that we are who we are because of what Jesus did for us in a real body, and we are his real body now as the church. And when we take that wine, that juice, and we put it into our body and it joins our bloodstream, we're reminded that it was the real blood of Jesus that was shed for our sins. That this is not a made-up story. This is not fiction. This is real. And whether we take it out of a plastic cup or whether we drink it together sharing the same cup, whether we're eating real bread in the essence of a meal that we're taking together, or whether we're doing it coming out of a little container that we hold in our hand, it's what it represents. We don't know exactly how all the churches in the early days of the church went about doing this. We're not given that detail. But we do know that all the churches, wherever the gospel spread, they did the same thing that we're about to do this morning, in the memory of what Jesus did for them. And at the moment when they did that together, no matter what that looked like, whether they were meeting in homes, whether they were hiding in caves, whether they were in grand assemblies in thousands of people, or whether it was just two or three people gathered together, when they did this, they were united together with their brothers and sisters all over the world. And they were reminded that what we do, regardless of the circumstances, in persecution, in sickness, in peace, in war, it's real. Jesus really came, and he really died for us, and he really did come back to life again, and he really does reign as our Lord and Savior over us. And whatever we deal with in the future, it'll still be the same. It'll still be real. And we need to remember, regardless of what we face, church, God is in control. And Satan will try to convince us that this is not real, There's no point in this. Why keep trying to do something that's so complicated to do? We just have to say right in his face, you are not going to stop us because God is in control. God is the master over this. In Acts chapter 2, the church started. And one of the first things they did, after 3,000 people were baptized into Christ, they took this communion together. And it still lives in the church today. As we sing this next song, let's think about its significance in what we're about to do. And then as David leads us in prayer in a moment, don't get focused in on how strange it is to take this little cup. Think about how strange it is that God would love us so much that he would give his son.
Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say, I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say, I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me. Hosanna, Hosanna, to the Lamb that was slain. Jesus rose and rose again. Into the river I will wade. There my sins are washed away. From the heavens stream of the Savior's love for me. I will rise from waters deep into the saving arms of God. I will sing salvation song. Jesus Christ has set me free. Hosanna, Hosanna, to the slain. Hosanna, Hosanna. Jesus died and rose again. Hosanna, Hosanna, to the Lamb that was slain. Hosanna, Jesus died and
rose again. Pray with me, please. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we have the opportunity to have a relationship with you. As we've seen this morning, we see your hand at work in this congregation. We see your hand at work around the world. And we're thankful that you love us so much that you want relationship with us, and that through the sacrifice that was made, we can have forgiveness of our sins, that we can have that relationship with you. Be with us this morning as we partake together. Help us to remember the pain and suffering that Christ went through for us, that through that sacrifice, we can live with you one day. We ask this through Christ. Amen. Pray with me again. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that Jesus was willing to come. Thankful that he was willing to shed his blood to be that sacrificial lamb. May we realize how important that is to us, that he was willing to give himself completely, that he knew the will of your being his Father, that you wanted him to be that sacrifice so that each of us can have that relationship with you. We ask this through Christ. Amen.
There's a message true and glad for the sinful and the sad. Ring it out, ring it out. It will give them courage new. It will help them to be true. Ring it out, ring it out. Ring out the word o'er land and sea. Still far from Jesus, many sin and doubt. Ring out the news that makes men free. To all the lost of every nation, ring the message out. Tell the world of saving grace, make it known in every place. Ring it out, ring it out. Help the needy ones to know him from whom all blessings flow. Ring it out, ring it out. Ring out the word o'er land and sea. Still far from Jesus, many live in sin and doubt. Ring out the news that makes men free. To all the lost of every nation, ring the message out. Sin and doubt to sweep away till shall dawn the better day. Ring it out, ring it out. Till the sinful world be won for Jehovah's mighty Son. Ring it out, ring it out. Ring out the word o'er land and sea. Still far from Jesus, many live in sin and doubt. Ring out the news that makes men free. To all the lost of every nation, ring the
good to see everyone here this morning, and if you're visiting with us, sure would like to have you back. Your presence is always a blessing to us, so come back and see us. You know, we're going through difficult times right now. I don't need to tell you that. We're going down pathways we didn't think we'd go down, pathways we never dreamed we'd go down. And it kind of gives us anxiety for what the future holds. In times such as this, we need to listen to the voice of our Master. John 14:27, Christ said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world gives you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Good words to take with us. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for allowing us to come here this morning and worship you. We pray that each person here has been uplifted and encouraged as we praise you, the Creator, the one true living God, who is above all, through all, and in all. Father, we're thankful for your goodness and your blessings, the great love you have shown to us that comforts us and sacrificed for us that we might have freedom in life. Father, we pray we won't forget who you are and what you do for us. Father, we pray for our nation. We ask that you be with the leaders. They would seek you. They would ask you for direction, and you, Father, would give them that direction. We pray for those men and women in the military, those that are in law enforcement, those that are first responders, all those that are in harm's way, Father, and stand between us and evil. We pray for peace throughout this land. Father, we pray for those who are broken and hurting this morning. We ask that you be with those who are suffering through the COVID virus, that you would heal them, that you would calm those that are living in fear, that you would comfort those that have lost loved ones. We ask that you be with the doctors and the nurses, the caregivers, those that are on the front lines. We know, Father, they many times will be tired and discouraged. Give them strength, Father, as they continue this fight against this disease. We pray for those that are looking to develop a cure or vaccine, that you'd guide them as they do that. Father, we pray for a cure. We ask you to please do that, if it be your will. Father, many times we disappoint you and fail you. Forgive us, Father, when we fall short. Help us to forgive ourselves. Forgive those that sinned against us, Father, as we forgive them. Father, thank you for your church. Thank you for your body that worships here. We pray for an indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that we would see your will and see your purpose that you have for each of us. We pray that we would walk in a way that would please you, that we would be the light, that you would have us be a light so bright, Father, that others would see us and know that we belong to you. Father, we ask that you be with those who are traveling to come together for holidays this week, to be with families. We pray that you would give your watch care over them and bless those things that they do together. And also, Father, we ask you to be with those who can't be together, those that are far away, and those who are in isolation. Father, comfort them and strengthen them also. Father, thank you for each person that's here this morning. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. And Father, when we leave here this morning, remember that you are the church. As we go out into the world, Father, let us be the church. All these things we ask in your Son's name, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you again for being here with us this morning. As we get ready to head out from here, I want to make note of a couple of things. We will still have an adult class in here at 5 p.m. tonight, but because of the holidays, we will not have a family Bible class or a teen class tonight. But 5 o'clock, we will still have the adult Bible class. If you have something else that you're looking to do at 6 p.m. tonight at First Baptist Church, they're having the community Thanksgiving service. Wayne Hancock from the Cross Timbers Church of Christ is going to be preaching tonight during that. So if you want to go over there and support them in that as well, that's an option you have for tonight. But adult class will meet in here at 5 p.m. tonight. Hope everybody has a great and wonderful Thanksgiving, a safe holiday. Thank you for being here this morning. As you go out into this world, know that there are lots of ways that we have through Graham Street that you're able to serve this community here and far away. We love you guys. Hope you have a great week. We'll have a song playing as you dismiss.